everybody. This is Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And in the studio with me, as always, Mr. Kevin O'Donohue.
Hey, Ben.
The director, spiritual leader, and go-to guy here at the Positive Mind Center on West 57th Street. And our guest, returning from yesterday, so good to have you back, Dr. Joseph Cardillo, author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. And yesterday we began our conversation talking about body intelligence, what exactly it means. We went over the definition of it. If you missed that, you can find it, as you can find all of our programs, on our podcast. It's free. You can go to iTunes, search Positive Mind, and subscribe, or you can find it directly on our website, positivemind.com, thepositivemind.com.
Or WBAI.org.
Or BAI.org. But we have no expiration date on our archives. Our archives are there forever. Yeah. And the BAI archives, while we're glad that they're there, they are only there for, I believe, 30 days.
Okay.
So you can go back 30 years, just about, on our archives. And on the iTunes podcast, which, again, is completely free, even though you have to go to the iTunes store to find it, that, I believe, brings you our most recent 12 episodes. But Dr. Cardillo, thank you so much for being back with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And we talked about body intelligence, and we're going to move beyond the bare definition, which is what we were really into yesterday, and talk more about the hallmarks and the signs of body intelligence. How can you tell when an individual has really focused on implementing that in their lives? What are the hallmarks of body intelligence?
Well, the first hallmark of body intelligence is to start to become aware of all the energies that your body is drawing upon throughout the day and that are influencers in our lives. And by the way, these energies that, you know, I think we said yesterday that our body works like a tremendous antenna, drawing energy from everything in its environment, the environment itself, and even from within itself.
Or other individuals.
And other individuals.
I mean, I know when I'm in a certain mood, and someone walks in the room that's in a completely different mood, that I pick up off from that. I feed off of that.
That's right. And sometimes we have to find a sense of balance because we're in such different moods. So, yeah, we're drawing energy from everything in our environment. And so the first step in body intelligence is to start to take a close look, and it's fun. It's like self-discovery. These
right.
things, this is who I am, because the things that influence me are not going to be necessarily the same things that influence somebody else and may influence somebody else in a different way. So it's kind of a unique, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of pattern. So to make ourselves aware of both the positive and the negative energy influencers on our thinking
and
on our feeling.
And I think a great gauge of this is when you're watching television and you're flicking through the dial. I mean, you can see certain shows that animate you right
Absolutely.
Away. I mean, it happens in a millisecond. We know right away by clicking a channel whether we want to stay or we want to go. So this mechanism is always on, always going when we're regularly living our lives, that it's not just when we're doing the television. So, I mean, if you stopped right now and looked around and said, what in my environment is draining my energy? Like artificial flowers. I find artificial flowers draining. You know, and live flowers and live plants energizing. It's as
Absolutely.
Simple as that. You know, so
Absolutely.
I mean, so you say it begins with awareness. So your awareness is always on. It's just channeling it and targeting it.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about it, about your awareness being on, because it's so true.
Yeah.
And we can become more aware, and that's one of the things that I'm asking people to do. You know, and you know, as you said, you know, flicking through different channels on the television, looking through a photo album, all of a sudden we stop and pay attention to one
yeah.
thing. I used to like, you know, taking drives up north, the northern part of New York State, and you know, you'd find a certain environmental landscape
mm-hmm.
that you just, it takes your breath away. You stop and pay attention to it. It's not necessarily the same thing somebody else in the car might say, what are you doing?
Yeah, right,
but
right.
it takes your breath away.
Yes.
And you stop and you look at it, and at that moment, that's what you needed.
Yeah. So the first step, the first hallmark, is to pay attention. Be aware.
Absolutely.
Know what triggers you, what stimulates you, and what drains you.
And by the way, as soon as you look at something, and you look at it for more than a few seconds,
mm-hmm.
as soon as you look at it, what you're doing is you're triggering your mind's attentional network. And so
right.
as soon as you're looking at it, you're telling your mind, hey, I want you to remember this.
Right. And so it's also living with intention.
And it's living within you.
Yes, it's living within you. Okay, so this is the first step, is to be aware of what is draining you, what is a positive influence on you, and what is a negative influence.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be fun. I mean, I really think it
fun.
Can be fun. That if you just walk around and look, even outdoors, what is really drawing your attention and enlivening you, and what is really deadening and depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else?
So then the next step would be, or the second, what I call hallmark of body intelligence, would be to start plugging the drains. Start mm-hmm. plugging the things that are draining our energy. And that can be a lot of fun, and because it's discovery. I knew a person, for example, who used to have a lot of caffeine before she went to work in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and she needed it.
Yeah.
She said she needed it to take care of household activities, her family and so
mm-hmm.
on, get herself off in the car and going. And then on the way to work, she would actually stop at a particular coffee shop and get more coffee.
Sure.
Because she thought she needed it. And then when she got to work, she was drained. And
yeah.
so she's saying, what's doing this? You know, and then she was trapped. Caffeine became a trap. And
right.
we've all yeah. kind of been there, you know.
Sure.
The first cup is good. The second cup is good. And then after that, the returns aren't so good. And eventually we're trapped.
Yeah.
And the returns aren't good yeah. at all. And they bring on all kinds of body ailments.
So what do you depend on? I mean, that's something you can turn to people and say, if you really want to do a body intelligence, what is my body dependent on outside of me?
We have to become aware.
Yeah.
And I think that that's great. You know, what do we depend on? One of the days, what I ask this individual to do, and I ask people to do, is keep a chart. It doesn't have to be a formal chart, although I asked her to keep a formal chart.
Yeah.
You know, keep a chart and just see what's activating you and what's draining you. What she found out was so interesting. It's kind of fun. What she found out is that when she went to that coffee shop, she started to perk up before she even had the coffee.
Oh.
It wasn't even the coffee that was perking her up.
The anticipation of it.
It was the anticipation
yeah.
of it, and it was that what she needed wasn't more caffeine. She needed a pause.
Which is the anticipation chemical, Kevin? Was it serotonin?
Well, serotonin's going to play in there.
Or endorphins.
Dopamine's going to play
right,
in there.
Right,
dopamine
right.
plays
yeah, dopamine
in there
is
big.
A chase chemical. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and other things are going to play in there.
Yeah.
But what she needed was a pause. And what she found in a social climate that was different from the hectic climate that she woke up in,
yeah.
you know?
And I wonder if it's the smell of the coffee shop, too.
All of
That's
it.
Another
yeah.
thing.
So
well, I think it's
need...
really, it's important that we put this out there, that the link between caffeine and mood and physical feelings, because addiction is sort of a loaded word. People think of addiction and they think of... It's much easier to think of that as a problem that's somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who are huddled together
yeah.
Doing hard drugs like heroin or
right.
crack cocaine. But the addiction is so prevalent. And yes, we do have mm-hmm. an epidemic right now of opiate dependency and all kinds of problems that arise out of that. But addiction can be as simple as caffeine.
Absolutely.
Nicotine.
Sure.
Sugar is a big one. And I think that... when we begin to gain an awareness of the role that sugar plays in our diets
mm-hmm.
and how it makes us feel physically and mentally, it's an important first step to understand what we can do to cut back on it, because it is so unhealthy.
And
so
the first step, I think, is to recognize your dependency. I mean, nobody's going to call themselves an addict. I mean, our culture doesn't say you're a caffeine addict, even though you very well might be. But...
it's so hard.
It can say I'm dependent.
Yeah, it's so hard to get statistics and figures around that sort of thing, right? Caffeine addiction or sugar addiction, because who's measuring that?
Yeah.
But I would wager that there's a good chance that over half of the people in this country are addicted to sugar. It's so prevalent in our diets, and it's really a killer. It's a silent killer.
Yeah, this is all true, and this is the self-discovery part. We find out that certain things that we're doing that we like, We like it, but then we look at it, once we discover this is draining my energy, you know, I don't like what it's doing to me, and we substitute something else or we find something that's increasing our energy,
right,
and we realize how much better we feel, we become quote-unquote compulsive or addicted to that.
Yeah.
And now what you're doing is you're craving. You got your body craving something that's in line with your goals. You're craving something that's good for you. It's healthy. It makes
you for myself, I mean, I recently made the change of turning on the TV in the morning to turning on classical music.
Is a big
and
one.
I am addicted to it. I tell you.
This is a big one.
It has totally changed, you know, the first half hour of my morning.
Yeah, this is a real big one. You know, something like is under our radar as that. And some people just say, oh, you know, turn on the TV. I don't even watch it. I'm getting dressed. I've just got it on, you know. And they may not realize that particular piece that they're listening to on a daily basis is having a negative effect on their energy, or something in it, something that pops up in it, is having a negative effect on them. But again, it's not like a fingerprint. It is like a fingerprint. It's going to be different for different individuals.
Sure. But you also, I just want to tie this in. They're starting to use body intelligence to treat substance abuse.
Yes.
Types of addiction.
And I'm very, very excited about this.
Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I'm involved with a very large organization. I can only speak so much about it at the moment, but I'm involved with a very large organization that is right now working on implementing the concepts and the techniques of body intelligence into a holistic program to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, substance abuse, and also depression. And
you know, it makes a lot of sense because it starts with awareness and preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to reset. You're trying to recondition, train your brain.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to this as one of the hallmarks also. But I just thought it important to make that clear that people are using this body intelligence information to treat very serious mental health issues.
Yes, because it's non-invasive. It feels good. The assumption is that you are good.
Yeah.
All that.
And talk about sleeping pills. I mean, you say that 75% of sleep disorders can be fixed or healed or cured or at least alleviated with natural methods.
Well, there's a high efficacy. There's a real high efficacy with natural methods that, you know, somewhere around 85%.
Like what natural method?
Sound.
Sound.
Sound, music,
okay.
Natural sounds. When I say natural sounds, I mean sounds like water sounds, maybe campfire sounds, you know, all the various wind sound, chime sounds.
We have a Hemisync lounge here at the Positive Mind Center where people, you know, equalize the left hemisphere with the right hemisphere. If you have trouble sleeping, you know, to watch this color image and listen to the soundtrack, I mean, it heals, it cures insomnia on people. I've seen people in there just who come in complaining that I haven't slept in 3 weeks. You know, and they'll sit in the lounge. There's a sort of lounge pad, a heated pad, that people immediately, you know, within 5 or 6 minutes, fall asleep. So I think you're right.
Absolutely. And you can use it. You can use some of these methodologies. You can try them, you know, with migraine headaches and so on.
Okay, sure.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. Our guest today, Dr. Joseph Cardillo, author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. He spent 35 years as a research psychologist affiliated with the State University of New York, including SUNY Albany, and also worked with Michael Strahan on his most recent book, Wake Up Happy. And you may have heard him yesterday on The Positive Mind as we discussed the definitions of body intelligence and how our bodies, as we mentioned at the top of the show, can act as antenna or satellites or receivers for all the energy around us, whether it's from other people, places, or things. And it's fascinating stuff to me. I want to thank you again for being here. We're talking right now about some of the hallmarks of body intelligence. What are some more hallmarks you want to share with us?
I'm gonna go back just a second. If we identify the positive and the negative influencers, now we can start to control what's happening to our body and our mind.
Right.
once we identify the positive and negative influencers, we can plug some of the things that are draining our energy, because that's where that negative influencer is coming in. Once we plug our energy drains, we're already feeling better. Because right? Because now we've got more energy resources.
Would the every single day 3 cups of coffee each morning be an energy drain?
Absolutely.
A net energy drain.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's say, you know, it's mid-afternoon slump, and we generally, you know, have lunch, and then after lunch we have a cup of coffee or some caffeine drink that's worse. Or something like that.
Right.
Instead of doing that, there's so many things that we could do. I mean, the book has hundreds of things. But let's say we just go outside and take a walk.
Yep.
The reason that – and we've all done that. We've been
take a cat nap.
A cat nap. We've all been in a kind of a mood maybe. We're drained. We go out. We take a walk. We come back and we feel better. Why is that? Well, the reason that we feel better is because when we're outside, the exercise has brought our energy level up a little bit. Mm. But then – What's helping also is the additional light, which is melting off the melatonin in our bloodstream, and melatonin is what's making us feel groggy in the first place.
Right.
So once we eliminate that, we start to feel better. We're doubling up on it with the exercise. And as I've said, if we use more than one part of the mind at the same time, we're going to amp up the effect. And so now when I'm taking my walk, I play some music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really ramping up the effect. And I want to say this, that music is the only thing that we know that will permeate every part of the brain. So I like talking about music and sound as like a smoothie. And, you know, for me, because I've got young kids, for me, when I make smoothies, my wife and I put things in there, you know.
Sneak them in.
These are really good for you, but, you know, don't you really taste.
Kale.
Right. Don't you taste the berries and stuff instead, you know. So, you know, we sneak a little of this in and that. You know, vegetables and things in with all the really nice fruit. So music is like the smoothie. It feels really good and everything. But then we've got other things going on that we can put into the music and let that permeate our whole brain. And music will take those things. So if we've got power words or power imagery or if we've got a power story, a narrative that we see in our mind like a movie or scent.
I was most powerful in my life.
Exactly.
When I was on top of my game.
Exactly.
Yeah, you mentioned visualization yesterday on the show as a way to really enhance whatever you're doing physically, for example, a jog, how using a visualization can actually make the jog more productive.
I just want to interrupt because I want to go into that a lot more, the visualization, but I want to give people background. So let's finish with the hallmarks, because visualization is going to be really important.
Thing.
I mean, just in the book, you say visualization is what distinguishes us from other animals.
Which
they
does.
Can't prepare their minds like we can to create outcomes that we want.
It's what distinguishes us from all other creatures.
So we'll get into that, but go on with the hallmarks again.
All right, so once we've got the drains, and let's say we've plugged the drain, and what we're going to do is we're going to try to increase the energy gain.
Okay, right.
So,
and there's no question you're going to gain energy. If you stop your sugar for 3 weeks, if you stop your caffeine for 3 weeks, if you stop staying up in the middle of the night for 3 weeks, if you stop things, you know, you're going to feel more energy.
Right.
So there's
no
question.
These things are draining you, and then you replace them with things that, rather than drain you, are uplifting you.
Right.
And now just the drains are going to make you feel better. You plug those.
Yes.
But now that you've made the replacements, and again, your replacements you've got to discover. In the book, I explain how to do this. And it's simple. It's fun. You find the things that juice you up.
Okay.
And you replace your drains with those. And next thing you want to do is to find a way to ramp them up. And we're sort of talking about that right now. You start to combine various techniques. And when I say that, they're techniques that apply to different parts of the mind, like the visual part, the language part, the part of the brain, all of the brain that absorbs music and sound.
Right. And this is current science. I mean, this is not abstract stuff. This is real concrete stuff that you can do and use to improve your mind and your spirit.
Absolutely.
And your body. Just quickly tell beats per minute. I mean, I found it fascinating that you can start your day with lower, you know, music, any song that you play. You can go to Google and just put the name of the song /BPM, beats per minute, to find out how many beats are in a certain piece of music. And you can use those pieces at different parts and different times of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if there were one piece of advice that I were to give anybody is to find, is to create two files for yourself. One file of things that you could do to uplift yourself, and the other file of things that you can do to calm you down. So now you can go up.
Okay.
You can go down, but right. I mean, there's a whole other. There's many other things you can do.
Yeah, sure.
But let everybody should at least have those two files. And the reason that you should have those is because that's what balance is. You either if you're too jumpy, you need to come down.
Okay.
If you're too mellow to do the job, you need to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a file that will do that for you, in your file, you should have a real simple thing: sound. What sounds uplift you? Put that on your iPod or your cell phone. What visuals uplift you? Put those two things on there, and then find a visual and find a sound that will calm you down. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things, but those two things everybody can do. And that way, when you need to go one way or the other to get the job done, you've got it right there. All you got to do is push a button.
And a lot of people are already doing this. I mean, I'm on the subway every day, and I see people at the end of the day, they're playing a game on their phone or they're looking at their photos on their phone. And often, you know, you see fathers or mothers of people looking at the photo of their kid on their iPhone, and it must be tremendously soothing. And I've started to do it myself. When I'm bored, I'll look at my photos and really have a certain emotional charge.
But there's so many things that, you know, see, this is the thing of body intelligence. We, in a very primal way, know what feels good. You ever see people like rubbing their head? it feels good. You rub right around, which generally most people rub the same parts of their head.
Yes.
You see, particularly this right on the crown of your head. Do you know why we do that? Because there's a pressure point there that we can rub, and it calms us down.
Oh.
And that's why we do that. But we don't know that. We just do it naturally. Now,
and
what I do with body intelligence is, what can we do? Now that we know that, what can you do with that knowledge? When can I use it?
Mm.
And how can I ramp it up? How can I amp up that effect so that I can bottle it and have it for when I need it.
Yeah. Why do people wipe their hand across their forehead when they're under stress?
It feels good.
I mean, that's uniformly. I see this all the time. I know I do it myself. When I feel I'm shocked or surprised, I'll run my hand across my forehead. You know, there must be something soothing in that action to take away the pain or the stress.
There is. In energy medicine, which is related to what I do.
Course.
It's not what I do, but it's somewhat related. And in energy medicine, there are meridians that run in those directions.
Okay.
And so, you know, we enjoy touching those and tracing those.
Right up by the temples, usually, right?
Exactly. And under here, under your cheeks.
Sure.
Cheekbones.
And then right above the lip.
Yeah, and you can feel them, and they feel good. And most of us have found them by now.
Yeah.
Even when we're babies, you see babies.
Right.
You know, one of the greatest things is to see a little baby. Just, they can't, well, you know, there's an old saying, we dance before we walk, right? We sing before we talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that we've discovered, before we can even walk or talk, that certain movement feels good.
Right.
And certain sounds that we make with our body make us feel good. You know, we call them happy sounds. You know, you watch the kids smiling. And just,
I noticed you don't have dance in the book, but now we're going to add that for the next time, the next edition. Dancing and singing together.
Dancing
doing
and singing
both of those together.
Doing both,
there's a
yeah.
link. Okay, so we're doing the hallmarks, and we're up to the gains, increasing the gains, ramping up the gains.
Ramping up the gains. And then the next thing that we want to do, now that we know what affects us positively and negatively, now that we've plugged the drains, now that we've increased the gains and found a way to amp them up, now what we want to do is we want to find a way to regulate them at will. So, for example, if I'm going into an office meeting and I want to feel a certain way, I can do it at will.
Yeah.
And so then I'm going to train my mind for the last hallmark, and that is to make it automatic so that I don't have to do this at all anymore. And I can sort of clear that off my hard drive, and my mind is doing it for me, and now I can use my mental space to take care of other things in my life.
How many years does it take to do that? I'm kidding.
No.
How long does it take?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that. And I'm glad that you said how many years, because somebody might think, you know, you'll feel something positive immediately, but the difference between pharmaceuticals, let's say, which are good.
They work right away. I oppose them.
Yeah. They people need these.
Yeah. But they're emergency medicines.
And I'm aware of the fact that the people will disagree with that statement, but you know, people need them. Some people, it's all they have.
Of course they do. Yeah.
At any rate, the pharmaceutical works immediately.
Yeah.
To a large extent. And it doesn't really take much effort on our part. Although if we think positively, as a matter of fact, the pharmaceutical will work better. So there's all kinds of evidence that shows that if we can put ourselves into a positive mindset, even a pharmaceutical will work better.
Well, that's the placebo effect, too. I mean, placebos, if we believe that this pill is going to, you know, that's
additional
to that. Or if we make
ourselves happy and calm and so. But okay. On the other hand, you know, some of these methods that we're talking about, you'll feel something positive right away.
Yeah.
But you're not going to feel the full effect for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's not bad. No. You'll feel it more and more and more. And after 3 weeks, it'll start to become permanent if you want it to be. And once you make it permanent, you make a permanent transformation, you can delete that from your hard drive, and your mind is doing it for you. And now you can use your mental energies for other things.
And that notion is a concept actually right out of cognitive behavioral therapy,
absolutely.
CBT, the idea of I'm going to delete or cancel thoughts that aren't serving me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Keep track of the negative thoughts, which means that also I didn't need to wait 3 weeks with this classical music thing for me in the morning. I mean, I'm anticipating it, I'm enjoying it, and I'm also much more aware of my environment now in the mornings because I'm not turning on the TV and it's not absorbing, sucking the energy out of me. So the music is in the background. I'm coming to depend on it. But I, you know... You can also backslide, though. I almost had the impulse to turn the TV on this morning. And I was like, oh, what did I do last night that made me want to turn on? I didn't do it, you know, but I'm saying, you know, if you're aware and you start to pay attention to these things that help you feel positive, you'll also be aware of when you're getting dragged back into the negative, and you can interrupt that.
Absolutely. And that's the whole idea, is to interrupt that negative energy that affects us. Because remember, our body's downloading all this energy all the time.
Then you talk about, okay, so these are the four hallmarks, or the five hallmarks. Now you want to target it to specific situations in your life. If I'm going to meet up with my boss.
Right. So there might be a song that worked great when, you know, when we were younger and we're headed to a soccer game or a football game, mm-hmm. or, you know, that really pumps you up to do the job,
right.
You know, something like that. Or maybe you're pumping iron in the gym or at home, or you're doing something that really, you know, gives you high energy like that. You may not want to use that for your job interview.
Sure.
You see what I mean?
But some people... It may not be the mind state
it may not. So although we have that tendency, oh, you know, I'm going to rub this particular part of my head here. I don't know that there's necessarily an acupuncture point there or, you know, mm-hmm. a pressure point there, but it feels good. You know, once you know how it works and why it works, you can say, okay, that particular song there is good for when I'm taking a math test or for when I'm going on vacation or something like that.
Right.
But it's not good here.
What I'm afraid of listening to all this is that somebody out there, the listeners are going to say, well, it's pretty darn tedious for me to actually make a playlist, for me to actually change behavior. And it's sad because you realize you have so much to gain if you simply set aside a half an hour of planning to create certain things for yourself.
Well,
tell us about
this. Here's what I got to say about that. Here's what I got to say about that. First of all, anybody who's had a cold or anything, I mean, something as light as a cold,
right.
You know, or an allergy, any of us who can take care of that without having to take a pill, mm-hmm. know the difference. Like, if I can get rid of this without taking medication, boy, do I feel better.
Right.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back after this to conclude our discussion with Dr. Joseph Cardillo. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back shortly after this.
Você tem razão, que de confusão não se vive não. Não vou procurar, nem telefonar, tudo vai passar, viu? Só quero lhe dizer que eu amei você, que só vim pra cá pra te encontrar. Não tem nada não, pois eu não sou mais do que um João, viu? É tão engraçado lembrar que foi você mesma que veio um dia me procurar. E não é nada fácil eu agora me acostumar a não te ver, a não te ter e não poder te beijar. Sinto saudades, mas não tem nada não. Você tem razão, que de confusão não se vive não. Não vou procurar, nem telefonar, tudo vai passar, viu? Só quero lhe dizer que eu amei você, que só vim pra cá pra te encontrar. Não tem nada não, pois eu não sou mais do que um João, viu? É tão engraçado lembrar que foi você mesma que veio um dia me procurar. E não é nada fácil eu agora me acostumar a não te ver, a não te ter e não poder te beijar. Sinto saudades, mas
Tem Nada Now, and I know I'm butchering that pronunciation, but we're here with Dr. Joseph Cardillo, the author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. And you were just talking before the break, Dr. Cardillo, about how certain music can put you into certain places mentally and the effect that that can have on the body. And I was just thinking, as we were taking that break, listening to that song, how that music is so tied to memory as well. I mean, I know I grew up, my father played a lot of that Brazilian music from that era around the house when I was growing up. Mm. And for some reason, when I listened to it, any kind of Brazilian music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, I get transported into childhood.
Yeah, and very quickly too, I'll bet.
Sure.
You know, and I hear that. I hear that a lot, and it's the power of memory, and our memories are very powerful because they're capable of changing our blood chemistry in a millisecond.
Really? So let me ask you something. You spent 35 years in the SUNY system doing this work around the mind and body connection. You've devoted who knows how many countless hours of study around this, around the mind-body connection, holistic psychology, and, you know, you're clearly very passionate about this. What are we seeing now in terms of, is mainstream sort of, conservative, traditional psychological field starting to open up to these concepts? Is this going to, you know, are we going to see these ideas become embraced and mainstreamed, if you will?
I think so. I mean, it has to, right?
Yeah,
think so. And the reason is if you go back and you think, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you know, some of these ideas, I wouldn't be here talking about them.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here talking about them. We'd maybe talking about them, but not here.
And I think there's something about relying on yourself, that healing yourself.
It's in demand these days.
That people want to feel like they are participating in their own recoveries.
Absolutely. It's in demand. People are getting tired of invasive stuff and would like to maybe see if maybe we could prevent some things from happening.
Yeah. And preventive medicine in itself is a booming industry.
Yeah, and in many ways, the book is almost do-it-yourself healing,
yeah.
Which I think there is a definite demand for, so that's fascinating.
And doing it now, right? I mean, let's say you're not under stress. You don't need these tools right now in your life. You're fine. But you were talking about getting yourself ready.
Yeah, that's a big difference between what I'm talking about maybe and taking a pill.
Yeah.
You know, the pill is from you're there, you need it, you don't have time to do anything else. You know, something needs to be treated.
Right.
All right. But this is something, what I'm talking about is something that you can start doing now, and then when you need it, you've already trained your mind to produce it for you.
I mean, from yesterday we got two callers. One I think was Lucy and then Jim talking about taking care of their aging parents.
Mm-hmm.
I could just see applying it here. If you're seeing that your parents, okay, in a couple of years, I'm going to have to take on taking care of them.
Yeah.
And my energy is going to be really strained and demanded.
Or even with our own families when they're not aged, you know. To control our pets even, you know. Taking care of a pet sometimes.
But really, getting your body, getting yourself ready. Again, I think a lot of body intelligence is about being proactive.
And we're going to be there, everyone.
Of course
we are. I would hope that all of us has tremendous longevity and a happy life. But we're going to get there, and we're going to eventually need to try to draw energy and strength when we're getting older. We're going to need that ourselves.
And you said, if you do nothing else from reading the book, listening to us, two things. Have two files.
One is a file that will bring your energy up, and the other one that will calm your energy down.
Yeah.
Those two files. And, you know, some of these skills that I talk about in the book and ways that we can use those energies that influence us is, you know, we can use our energy to improve our memory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many of us will need that. We need it now. You know, I go out to do a presentation. You know,
I have to do
something. You know, we need energy. We need energy to heal our emotions, to heal a broken heart. We need energy to be creative. You know, we need energy to get physical strength. And we're going to need this when we get older. And if we prepare it now, when we're, you know, if we have an injury, a month from now, if I have an injury and I need occupational therapy or I need physical therapy, the work that I've done now, the work that I've done now using muscle memory, using energy to uplift myself, using energy to build up physical strength will help that heal. And there's been research done in these areas to show that kind of memory and visualization will actually help you heal, even from surgeries, more quickly and more positively.
Yeah, we're going to talk
and
about
if nothing
that.
Else, if nothing else, more happily.
We're going to talk about that again, visualization, in a few minutes. But again, it's all about energy. And either you have it or you don't, or you can go get more of it on your own.
And it's also, it is. And it's also about having the right energy for the right task.
Mm-hmm.
We get fatigued. One of the reasons that we get fatigued is that we're coming at a task with the wrong energy. And so that disturbs our state of flow.
Yeah.
And so we get out of that mental flow because it's the wrong energy for that particular task. Just like when earlier we were talking about a person whose energy is conflicting with ours. That completely disrupts what you're doing. And sometimes it'll halt, it'll paralyze what you're doing. Other times it really facilitates. So it's having the right energy for the right task. If you use the right energy for the right task, you can do this more often. At the end of the day, or at the end of the task, rather than feeling drained, you feel like the task actually gave you energy. Just like, you know, we may be working here, but we're building energy more than we're expending it.
Right.
So we're gaining, not losing.
Yesterday you talked about psychological currency. We're going to, I think, spend most of this last 20 minutes talking about psychological currency because it's building a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already talked about music. Tell us about scent, because I think in the book you say nothing can change your mind or spirit or mood as fast as a scent can. In a melody, I think it's even faster than music.
Yes, it's faster than sound. Sound is a close second, but scent is faster. So scent is something that we could use a lot more.
And it's so linked to memory.
Oh.
You were talking about your dad and discovering this perfume.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Say something.
We discovered, my brother actually found a perfume my mother used over 40 years ago.
Right.
And it was about a quarter filled still. And so all you need, he didn't even need to spray it.
Yeah.
All you needed was to just get the faintest scent, and you were right back at a moment that you loved.
And it strikes me as so nourishing if your father could spray it on his, his partner's pillow
while
to bed every night.
So if you kind of know what you're doing, you can create memories now that you can use for energy later.
Yeah.
So I can create a memory with scents, everything from colognes to candles, and some of them can be used pretty recreationally.
And I think everybody out there right now can just feel that. Just think about a pillow with perfume on it of your partner, or cologne of your partner or something, and feel how that goes into your body.
Absolutely. Or a landscape.
Yeah.
A landscape. You know, if you're someplace that you really love, this is the place you vacation at. You know, if there's something that you could bring with you, you know, when you come home, you can preserve the energy of that vacation. Let's say it's a wooded area and there's a lot of pines. If you bring back some pine needles, they'll last you a long time.
So I'm driving along and I get one of these moments that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all have them. Like sometimes a smell really penetrates more than others. Sometimes a sound of music penetrates more than other times. You know, so. How can we cherish it? How can we link it? How can we nurture
because
it? How can we make it sink into our bones?
Repetition.
Okay.
Repetition is the answer. But I'm gonna tantalize you with this here. I hope one of the reasons that we connect with things in our environment, people. You know, we've all heard the expression "love at first sight."
Yeah.
People. We connect with nature. You know, we pass by a million sunsets, and then all of a sudden, one night,
it hits.
There's one sunset, and you're looking at it, and it just blows you away.
Yeah.
You know, or just different things. You know, we've looked at 100 mountains. We don't pay much attention. We see one, and we pay a lot of attention. What is it about that? You know, there's some real interesting energetic possibilities. You've grounded with its energy,
mm-hmm.
it's grounded with your energy, or best of all, you found something that's really you and it.
Okay.
And it's worth exploring and looking at.
And just one of the purposes or reasons to plug the drain or get rid of the drains is so that you can have moments like that. I'm sure if you're preoccupied with energy drains, you're not going to have a lot of those moments. Whereas if you get rid of the energy drains, you'll be much more receptive and set up and prepared to have moments like that.
Absolutely.
Would you say that's true?
Yeah, that's totally true. And that's again, brings us back to that hallmark of really paying attention.
So this psychological currency, this bank account, I want to get to visualization. This is a big one. Visualization. Even in the book, you give two studies where people have actually healed themselves or
mm-hmm.
participated in the healing mm-hmm. process through visualization. Talk about how this distinguishes us from the animals and how this is a particular human thing and how it's an asset.
Yeah, because we're not fully conditioned. we can change the way we respond to things.
Yeah.
We're not fully conditioned. So if we want to change the way we respond to things or the way things are making us feel, all we need to do is to create a visualization. We're the only creature on the face of this earth that can visualize a fictional situation of how we want things to turn out and visualize it over and over again and then apply that paradigm to when the window of opportunity opens up in real life and have it work out that way.
Right.
We can condition ourselves through a visualization. And not only can we condition, you know, maybe my response at an office meeting, but, you know, I can maybe condition, you know, my breathing, my respiratory system in a certain situation, or I can condition my blood pressure in a certain situation.
Right. Yeah, and you can actually heal things going on in your body.
Absolutely.
With visualization. I mean, there is a science about...
The body loves patterns. Our body, uh-huh. from our origins, from our first cells, loves patterns. And so our body learns to recognize patterns. And the more we repeat that pattern, the more we make our body pay attention to it. And once our body says, this is a pattern that this individual wants to ingrain, our body ingrains it for us and starts to do it automatically. This is the problem with addictions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also an asset. We can use that same mechanism to create great methods of healing.
Okay. And anticipating the rewards of a certain activity.
Oh, that amps it up too.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Because when we start to anticipate the rewards of doing something that we want to keep doing or that makes us feel good, every single step toward that is being rewarded electrochemically in our body and mind.
Yeah,
every step. So, for example, if there were a book you wanted to buy,
right,
when you finally had enough money in your pocket to buy the book, you'd feel good. When you get in the car and put the key in your car and start to drive to the store to buy the book, you start to feel good. And every little thing you do toward that end makes you feel better, just like with foods and so on.
Okay. Right. I mean, you can postpone eating in order to heighten
exactly,
the enjoyment of
exactly.
the meal.
Exactly. So it's a big thing. And so what you're doing is you're rewarding the steps along the process. Like you don't have to hit the target to start feeling good. And this is another way to trick your brain and body, or the rest of your body, into making you feel the way you want to feel for longer periods of time. And even when you're just accomplishing part of your goals, not the whole thing.
Okay. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. Our guest today is Joe Cardillo. He's the author of Body Intelligence, Harness Your Body's Energies for Your Best Life. You can find him on Twitter at Dr. Mind Fitness. That's Dr. Mind Fitness. Or his website. Check out his website, josephcardillo.com. I want to thank you again for being with us here today, Dr. Cardillo. It really plays into this theme that we've been exploring here these last couple months on The Positive Mind of the inexorable link between our mental, emotional, and physical health, right? You can't have one without the other. It's almost like a game of whack-a-mole, you know, that old arcade game. It's all so closely tied together, and when we can have that awareness of taking better care of our bodies and understanding what's going on with our bodies, the effect will certainly spill over into our mental and emotional well-being, mm-hmm. and vice versa, frankly. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It's like having two switches, and I'm going to turn this switch on when I want to affect the other one.
What I like about our discussion today is that it's very concrete. I think everybody knows. Everybody can identify and connect to this idea of scent enlivening them, that visualizations do help people go into troubling and difficult situations
yeah.
and come out of them successfully.
We've done an entire program on the link between scent and memory, and it is the number one
Absolutely.
Sense affiliated with memory.
Mm-hmm.
If you
yeah.
can think of what, you know, what your grandmother's home might have smelled mm-hmm. like, if you smelled that would just put you right back there. Or what maybe a certain dish mm-hmm. that a parent used to cook smelled like on the stove or in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smell is so closely tied to our memory.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many, and one of the things, and I'm that's exactly what I tried to do, Kevin, is to take take things that we do, that we have a natural tendency to do because we know they feel good or they work, and find ways of ramping that up so that now we've got a sort of a prescription for ourselves when we need it, and we can intensify the prescription because we know how to ramp it up. I'll give you a really easy example. Anybody who wants to get a higher state of energy, so you want to heighten your energy,
yeah.
Earlier I said have a song that brings you up there.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, if you're looking for BPMs, we talked about BPMs, go for something that's about 130 BPMs,
right.
Beats per minute, that is. And so you've got that. But before you go and put that on, which we all want to do, we want to put that jamming song on right
yeah.
away. Instead of putting it on right away, preempt it by putting on something really slow. So put on a slow, mellow song that you like. You got to like it a lot.
Yeah.
But you got to like it. Maybe yeah. it's something that your mother mm-hmm. used to listen mm-hmm. to, you know, mm-hmm. and or whatever. It's just a song that you like and is nice and slow. Then play that for 5 minutes, not too long, because otherwise it'll mellow you out too much. You know, not too long, for about 5 minutes, and then put on the high-powered pumping song, and
right.
it'll have a greater effect. So what you're doing is you're tricking your brain into releasing more of the neurochemicals that you want it to release, and you're also building your brain waves to a higher frequency.
Yeah, I had a moment as you were talking. I was like, what about those moments when I just don't feel like doing anything? I know it'd be good for me to do such and such a thing. When you talk about scent, I mean, I was thinking to smell something. Okay, I don't have to do anything. That can totally enliven
simple.
Me. In the book, you mentioned like some scents, like lavender. Do you know the other ones? I don't have them right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, some of the ones that I like.
Sandalwood.
Oh, yes, sandalwood and things like that. And some of the ones that I like to energize you, lemon is great.
Yeah, that's
lemon is
true.
Great. And so
oh,
if you
yeah.
just cut a lemon and,
yeah.
and you absorb the scent and everything, and then you taste it, then you drink it.
Okay.
Now you're really, you know, giving yourself a good lift. And all you need to do, we were talking earlier about this being so complicated. All you need to do is one of these things.
Yeah.
Just do one. Plug a drain and try one of these things. And you'll feel good right away.
You have those moments, Ben, like when you feel like I just don't want to do anything to stimulate myself out
sure,
of this
it
mood.
Happens. You know, a lot of times that's how I feel on a Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday is like a big day for that.
And
then you miss it like the next day. You're like, oh, I should have taken advantage of Sunday.
Yep.
And all right. these items, you know, all these items are techniques that we can use to change that and fast.
Here's an easy one. Page 223, bubbling well.
Oh yeah, that's
tell
one
us
of
that
my
one.
That's
this
an
is
accurate,
the lazy man's
yeah,
version
wow,
or what?
You know,
I'm kidding, but you know, it's one that I could easily do when I'm in that mood.
I
don't want to do
this.
Anything.
I love this act. It's an acupressure point, and I love it. And you can find it. It's right at the bottom of your foot. It's at the center of your foot, at the bottom of your foot. You'll know when you found it. You rub it with your thumb,
yeah.
or you know, you can use your other fingers. Your thumb works good.
Right.
You know, rub it with your thumb, usually the opposite hand. So you can
uh-huh.
do that,
uh-huh.
and you will feel relaxed, but you'll also feel a surge of energy almost immediately.
Right.
It's a great acupressure point, and you know you could. Whenever you need it, there it is. So, you know, during office time, you know, maybe you've got a nice piece of music on your iPod or your cell phone that you can listen to. You could do a visualization while you're listening, and you can end it by just doing that one acupressure point.
There's a reason when you go to massage places, you see the charts where the foot is connected to the whole body system.
Oh, absolutely.
The blood. Well, thank you, Joe.
Dr. Joseph Cardillo, thanks again for being with us here. And you can find him online at josephcardillo.com. That's two L's. And you can find us at thepositivemind.com. Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. Or give us a call right here, 212-757-4488. We love hearing from our listeners, any kind of feedback you might have. It's always a pleasure. You find us here on BAI Live every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m., and, of course, online on the iTunes Store. We have a free podcast with all our old episodes. And on thepositivemind.com. Again, send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. Thanks for tuning in today, and we'll be back same time next Tuesday. Take care.